them to have a such a full house. I'm happy to see, and I'm happy for to see our speaker. I don't want to talk beat around the bush. Blackouts are not a nice thing. Everyone possibly saw one or experienced one. You don't want to have them. And how to actually cause one and how to prevent one, well, that will be told by our next speaker, Matthias Dahlheimer. Day four. You're planning your trip home, so thank you for coming so in so many numbers. So this shows that this might be a significant topic for some of you, for most of you. So usually a talk about blackouts starts with about a book by Marc Ellsberg called Blackout. I like this book way better. This is the basis of this novel from the Office for Technical Analysis. It's a scientific analysis of what are mechanisms of blackouts, large scale power blackouts. So after about 5 days, they say we would have like a situation that is pretty warlike here in Germany. So there's a risk there. So was it woohoo or I don't know, but the risk is pretty small, but the impact would be very large. All right, how predictable is our power supply network? So there's organizations in Europe that calculate the system average interruption duration index. It's pretty hard to pronounce, but this is just a number that says within a year, how many minutes was there no power available for a consumer? And if we have a look at this, that's around about 13 minutes. So that's for Germany 2008 to 2013, plotted for this duration. Renewable energies were like improving a lot. So about 30% of our energy comes from renewable energy sources. So you can see at these numbers, you can't prove like renewable energy sources endanger the network. But let's stay at this Saidi number. How do we calculate that? So there's paragraph 52 for the producers. Whenever there's like more than 3 minutes, a blackout of more than 3 minutes. Then they have to tell someone, tell it to the Bundesnetzagentur. They have a XML web service that receives that number and then saves it to a SQL database and then create a report and calculate the Saidi number. So I requested this database. It took about 9 months using the Freedom of Information Act. So it was kind of a painful experience for me because the Bundesnetz agency and me, we were like of different opinions, like who was able to access that content. So I thought it should be freely available, but I only got a subset for now of these data. So if we have a look at this, the first blackout is from 2008. The last one is from the end of 2013. So this is the basis for my data analysis. So the reasons for blackouts are just added up here. So one thing is they have a problem with UTF-8 encoding, obviously. So there's the curious reason for a blackout called "Please choose." It's the last one on the list. Let me phrase it this way: the input validation maybe might have been improvable in this case. So, but let's get serious. The data is kind of interesting. This is plotted. One point is a blackout. The y-axis is the power that has been missing times the duration. So how large was the blackout? X axis is the time. And we can see like most stuff is happening on low network load layers, voltage layer. So this is, of course, this is the others have more redundancies and more fail-safe, so this is like to be expected. So this looks possible, but I don't really trust this data, because the reason for this is the following. This is kind of complex. On the x-axis we have the time, and the y-axis we have the accumulated number of blackouts. So what I would expect is a line like the red one, so just like continuously outages like go up over time. And the red one is actually the line for all the producers, but the black lines, I just selected 10 randomly 10 producers and added them up, and let's look at this value 641. That's a curve that looks pretty weird. 2008, this producer had like 4 outages. 2009, it was 29. 2010, it was 1900. 2011, 57, and so on. And what made me pause was this jump in 2010. That's actually a line exactly that actually changes inclination directly when the years are changing. So this is not something that would be explainable physically, more like organizationally. So the Bundesnetzagentur, we don't know how they score these data, but I have some questions for this. So if someone from the agency is able to explain this to me, I would be very grateful. So the official statistics and the official monitoring, I think it's kind of curious. I don't want to say it's bullshit, but I have some questions.
So how does it work? How does the planning work? The reliability or the dependability in our generation network or in the distribution network? There are some criteria, and the most important criterion is the N-1 security. It says if I have N big devices and one fails, the rest has to work, and it's necessary because I need to do maintenance to fix a high voltage line, something like that. And with these, in this, here we have 3 phases that are transmitted, and two wires transmit one phase, and the other wire can fail, and the other one will still work if there are reserves. So let's take a step back. How does it work? The power generation system, and this is from Wikipedia, and I really like to use that because it is quite complex, even if it's a very abstract level. What is there in a electricity network? There is the network itself, or the grid, in different voltage levels, high voltage, 220 and 380 kilovolts, then the high voltage and medium voltage and lower voltage, and it branches out into the households, and what we get is low voltage, and the highest voltage, one tries to reduce the losses on the line losses by the higher voltage. And the whole operation is very strictly regulated, and by the Federal Agency for a Network for Electricity, Gas, Telecommunications, etc. And you have different generators on different levels of the network, with the big nuclear power stations and coal-fired power stations. They're on the highest level, and there are medium level power plants on the medium or high voltage level. There are wind generation parks and big photovoltaic or solar power stations. And what is new and where the renewables really make problems in the grid is that you have generation units on the lowest level, on the low voltage level. But this is just a side remark. I'm not going to get into details about that. And then you have the consumers. There are industrial consumers, even on higher network levels. but mostly on the municipal networks on the lowest level, and there is also generation on that level.
Okay,
so if you want a slide for the workings of the power generation network, and then it must be this slide. The generated power must equal the consumed power. There's practically no way to store electricity on this scale. When I turn on my TV, somewhere more power must be generated. Otherwise, this wouldn't work. And the network frequency, the 50 hertz, they are the indicator for imbalance, for power imbalance. And you can think of it as like this scale. If generation and consumption, then it's 50 hertz and everything is fine. And if you have too much load over the generation, then my network frequency goes down. On the other hand, if I have too much generation and too little load, then the frequency goes up. And that is the indicator which can be used for regulation, how much power is required. And you measure the network frequency and you know how many do I need to fire more coal. And when I started getting into this topic, there were no freely available data. Many companies measure that, and many service providers measure that for the electricity market, but freely available and high resolution, there were no data available. And I said, okay, I'm going to build this myself. It's just a microcontroller, it's a Raspberry Pi, and it can still be optimized, but for more than a year and a half, I have data records of different devices. And I had a talk about this project, how that worked in the background. But for this talk, I only use the data that I've recorded from that project. So that was that about network grid, the power grid. And let's get back to the blackout. The scenario that we always hear in the press, the hacker attacks a nuclear power plant. Is that something special? Is that a problem? Or what does the network do in that case? But you can observe that. Here's a nuclear power plant. It's Gundremmingen. And on the 25th of March, there was a scram, emergency shutdown. There are three reactor blocks. The first is down, and the second was not operated. The third was operating, and the maintenance caused an outage of the pressurized air supply, and there was an emergency shutdown, a trip of this nuclear power plant. And how much power was lost at that point, and how much power did it put out? And on a nuclear power plant, there you look at the available cooling power, and can I get rid of my excess heat? That's one of the important factors in a nuclear power plant. And I looked around with weather data and I asked, and okay, they said it was at maximum performance, maximum power, it was 1.3 gigawatts at the time of the outage. And this is the frequency. And you can see on the x-axis is the time, and the y-axis is the frequency. And you can see in the beginning it was very close to 50 hertz, as it should be, as it is normally. And then in a very short time, this is 19 seconds, there's a very quick drop down to the frequency. It's about 50 millihertz. And after that, the network regulates that again, and if the outage of a single power plant is more or less noise, and there are events that are much bigger, and this is not a big problem. And we can look what forces are at work here, and I used this frequency measurement and smoothed it a bit, and on the smooth data, the blue line is the smooth data, and made the first differential of that, and third derivative, and the gradients, the power gradients were quite a big. It was 5 gigawatts per minute peak change. And these are huge mechanical stress on the power plant, and the operator of this power plant wasn't happy when an intern or someone played around with the pressurized air. And how does this stabilization work? How could the grid do that? And there are three effects, and I roughly sketch those three effects, and in the following I always talk about the UTCE reference case. They start with a relatively low network load of 150 gigawatts and assume the outage of a double block, 3 gigawatts, maybe a nuclear power station or a bit more, completely goes down. And there are three effects which work cumulatively. And you always have to imagine those three curves being added. First is the blau, that is the use of rotational energy. And the red one is the rotational energy plus network self-regulation, regulatory effect. And the black is the primary regulation, that is an actively regulated component, and the other two are just physical effects. To rotational energy, this is the turbine or an X-turbine of Block 2 Philipsburg. This has a mass of about 190 tons and rotates at 25 rotations per second. There's a huge generator axis on that and a generator shaft, and this is one device in this power plant. In this rotational motion, there's a lot of energy stored in that. And this is the momentary reserve. And what it does is the blue line, and this says how fast the frequency degrades. And this turbine rotates with a multiple of the frequency of the network grid, all synchronized across Europe. And if something goes down, then all masses are braked and decelerated more or less in unison. And this momentary reserve is the inertia of all generators, but also on the consumer side are some inertial masses. There are some masses such as pumps or compressors. They also contribute to that. Where I have a rotational machine, they all contribute to that. And now we look and the addition of all three effects, how does that combine? If you use this, if I change this rotational energy, and it is characterized by Netzanlaufzeit, and if that is small, I have a steep decline of the intuition frequency, and if it is higher, then I get the more smooth black one. And these are empirical estimates, but it's about in the right range in Europe. So the red curve is the network self-regulatory effect. And I have 1.5 to 2% reduction of percent for every percent of reduction in frequency. And if you imagine about an asynchronous motor, and if it uses less energy if I reduce the rotational speed, except it is really there's a frequency transformer, then that's no longer true. But everything that is really synchronous contributes to this effect. This is the same plot, the same graph. This is the network coefficient. The red line is the initial, then there's the initial dip higher, and if it's the coefficient is high, then the initial dip is small. And now we get to the first active component. So far it was only physical effects that are just part of the European network, and now we are in the regulatory system in a huge power plant, for example a nuclear power plant. And there is a mechanism called primary regulation. And because if there is a frequency dip, and we are trying to stabilize that. And there's a circuit from a circuit diagram from a paper that I can recommend from Elgard. And I recommend that if you want to know more about it. This was my source. And what I did at one, there's a frequency sensor, and I look what is the actual network frequency and transmit that to two. There is a regulatory system, and there is the speed of the generator, and compare that to the frequency and see how that works together, and what is my set point, and what is my current value. And in the end, we open or close a valve, and more or less steam is admitted to the generator. And that way you can you know, correct that, or by the inertia of the rotational turbines. And there's a certain time it takes, around 30 seconds delay you have in this system until the primary regulation really works. From the regulatory strategy, it's a simple proportional regulator feedback control loop. This is from the European Commission, how this should be structured. And in principle, if you have a positive frequency deviation, then the power is reduced. And if you have a negative frequency deviation, then you increase the power. It's quite simple. And the slope of this graph is determined for each power plant or each energy company.
Okay. All right. So back to Gundremmingen. I wrote a model that I wanted to that I showed to you right now that creates those plots about the regulatory behavior of these things. There's one important thing that we need to actually run this, and that's the network load. So how much energy was produced in the European Union, or was actually consumed in the European Union. So on the x-axis, we have the time of the day. So those are UTC hours. And the other is the network load in megawatts. And this curve just moves around in for different, like in the summer, we need less light than in the winter, and so on. And also, it depends on the time of the day. So if we roughly look at the, so 25th of March, 7:35, when this it was about 405 gigawatts of consumed energy.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is my measured data laid over the model. The green line is the actually measured network frequency, and the other lines you already know. If you look at the black line at the top, the hockey form stick there, that's pretty well balanced on one level, like almost before the outage. So if I compare my measurements with like I can actually predict my measurements with this model. What I can't predict is the actual shape of the measurements, because there's other things happen in Europe other than this event, so it's impossible to actually predict this curve exactly. But like roughly speaking, this is pretty well fitting. The model isn't really calibrated well, but I would need more like atomic power plants to quickly shut down to trip their reactors to actually calibrate this. But the reason for this work is to have to calculate measurement data, what happens when atomic power plants have outages, and then how can I improve this model in the future. So just so we have a measurement, like how big is the delay to reestablish a stability in the network, how large a delay can we actually survive. So what happens if consumers have disturbances, so physical effects stabilize the network in the first 10 seconds. So without the physical effects, this would not work, because we don't have a regulation that happens that fast. Then after that, the primary regulation takes effect. So if I wanted to cause a blackout, I would have to create a huge jump in the network frequency. So the primary regulation like would take in like take effect to last. The same happens for consumer outages. So for example, if I go in a like industries or private homes, whatever whatever consumes power, whenever I just disconnect that from power, then the frequency goes up, but basically it's the same effect. Good.
So, nächster Punkt.
Next point here is, what about the power lines?
So ein Übertragungsnetz kann natürlich ausfallen.
Or the transmission network. So the transmission network can have outages as well. For example, November 4, 2006, about 10 past 10 p.m., the Norwegian Pearl, this very pretty ship, was actually finished by the wharf in, was finished in Partenburg. They don't have a direct access to the North Sea, so they have to transport those ships to the North Sea somehow. This is made more complicated by the fact that there's a high voltage line, power line. This is a picture. There was these red and white pylons weren't there back then because it was lower down. So the ship was actually too high. So the shipyard actually called the power energy company and told them could we actually disable those power lines.
Yes, Ion did that. You can see the red line there. This is roundabout where the line goes. There's the Ems goes into the North Sea, and they talked about it, and they Ion just switched off this line. And there was a small fuck up there. Ion had on his side. Oh, they planned to distribute the electrical power over other high voltage lines. And on Eon's side of one of those lines, there was a. They assumed that the trip value for a circuit breaker was 3,000 amperes, and on the other side, on RWE, was the same circuit breaker with 2,100 amperes. And Eon made a calculation and said, "Oh well, okay, we are at 2,500 amperes, and it's maybe it's just an imagined value, 2,500 or something, but it's below our trip value, so it'll be safe." And of course, this line tripped, and because the situation in the grid just transferred a lot of power, there was a chain reaction and an outage cascade, and every number in this slide is the trip of one high voltage line. This was across the Republic, across the country, and the consequence was that the European grid separated into three areas with different frequencies. And here you can say areas such as Spain, France had an under frequency, Hamburg had over frequency, and in an easterly direction, and in the southeasterly direction was under frequency again, and ungood really. So, and there were three network frequencies in the graph, in the plot. And that wasn't quite as good. And they tried to fix it. The blackout was around 10 past 10 in the evening, and around 22:34, so 25 minutes later, they tried to reconnect two areas, and it didn't really work, and it really took 9 attempts to physically reconnect the networks. And they discovered quite a lot of effects of frequency oscillations. The frequency went up, and the wind turbines in the north had a different frequency and turned off, and the frequency went down again, and the wind turbines found the frequency to be fine and connected again. And well, it's a non-trivial system, and it's a highly complex system, and there's a lot of lot of laws and regulations, and we are talking about Europe, and in Italy there are quite different threshold values. And to make another abstraction here and make it better understandable, I thought about another scenario. This is a little Python script which simulates the IEEE 24 reliability test system. So there are power flows in the American high voltage network, no idea what it's actually called there. But you have to imagine behind every one of these little green circuits, there's a network segment, there's a lot that's behind that. And in a normal operation, for example, between 6 and 10, the line has overcapacity and is operated overcapacity. That happens sometimes, and it's just a small overcapacity. It could also be more. And so I shut down the line between 16 and 14. 14 is still supplied, and this is the N-1 security, and it continues working. And if I now shut on the line between 11 and 14. 14 is isolated, but there are further effects. The line between 11 and 13 doesn't transmit any energy at all anymore. And why or how and where, which power plant is and how it was supplied before, you can't see that in this example, but there are non-intuitive connections. And now I trip the line between 3 and 9, and now a lot of stuff happens. Now I have between 8 and 7 an outage. It's sort of in a completely different place. And now between 16 and 19, there's a line which slowly heats up. And between 1 and 3, there's a line which is operated at 250% of nominal capacity. And so we assume that will soon go down as well. And now we have the case, well, it's just an example to make it more understandable. And now we have the case that one has two working lines but cannot be supplied because of physical effects, of the underlying physical effects. And the conclusion for the grid is electricity networks are extremely complex, and every event, every action, every switching action will be checked and for the consequences on the net. And usually that works, everything goes fine, and such a cruise ship is not delivered every day. So, but inherently these nets are prone to cascade outages or cascade effects, and if something goes wrong, more can go wrong. And the behavior of this network is not intuitive, so you can't look at the network plan and make an X and you can understand everything that goes on, but you really have to make a complex simulation.
All right, this is exacerbated by the increasing transport of energy. There's a liberated European energy market. Energy is actually being brokeraged at the further. So French people can actually buy Austrian energy and just let them send the energy across the networks. But the networks actually have to transport this energy. So this is from the network transparency platform of the European power producers. This is just a random screenshot. The data is online. You can have a look at them. And this is a situation where the energy is being distributed through Transnet DE from France to the Switzerland and Austria, so just business as usual. This is completely irrelevant what else is happening in the network of Transnet. So there's a brokerage of energy, so the possibility is also to move around this energy, and this is an additional exacerbation of the networks. So when we look at the energy brokerage, so this is an event that's just random from my data set. This is not something very important or something very like that springs into eye. This is a situation from September 2014, shortly after midnight. The frequency dips rapidly. It's from like the very top to the very bottom, we're about 160 or 170 millihertz. So about three atomic power plants worth that just break away. This is something that's very normal. It's a brokerage artifact that doesn't have a physical reason behind it. Nothing broke down, but it's a consequence of energy brokerage. So I found lots of these events and just calculated a median network frequency across the times of the day. So I took my data and just like calculated a median frequency and plotted that, and this is the graph that comes out there. So what I was expecting is that it would just result in about 50 hertz, but as you can see, the network frequency has structures, very visible structures. And so if we have a closer look at this, so this is zoomed in, then we'll find every hour there's an event. So in the evening, I have to go back, sorry. They go down in the evening, and in the morning they go up. In the midday there's less events, but like in the morning and afternoon, in the morning and evening, there's the events are larger. So this is the reason behind this is this energy is brokeraged in hours or quarter hours. And you see single products in this market being traded, and the next power plant like taking over the power production for this. So this is my recipe for a blackout. You need a jump in energy in produce, and this has to be quicker than the frequency regulation, so the primary regulation can't take effect. And I have to find a constellation where maybe I can find an outage cascade in the power network that like exacerbate this even more. So what I wanted, I want to disturb the equilibrium between creation and consumption. So concretely, if I wanted to do something, I would find a day with lots of wind, because wind power plants are not part of the primary regulation. So this means that if I have a wind power plant, I have less rotating mass than the other power plants, and this is bad. Then I want to find a position with the trading data where lots of energy is exported in different networks, for example, from France to Great Britain, which are part of the power network. And I would try to find a change between hours, like a time of the day where it's lots of irregularity anyway, and then I just need to quick jump in network energy. So this is my plan of attack. So shortly before Christmas, hacker infiltrated parts of the US power grid. Okay, obviously, if it was hackers or governments or some non-transparent organizations, whoever that is, it's a software system, so it is being attacked somehow. So additionally, the software systems in the power grid production, it's a monoculture. So of 800 producers, 300 of them use the IDS Highlight system, which is a play on words in German. So if I am in the Highlight product and I find an attack point, I can also attack the other 299 systems. So that's a monoculture. Smart meter is also a
With the German smart meters, you cannot just turn off the entire house, but you can control individual devices in the household. But it's maybe easier in the other countries. They have smart meters which are protected even less, and you just don't attack the smart meters, but the control center of the smart meters and everything that is green. There is a smart meter infrastructure which allow the household to be cut off from the network remotely.
Uh,
So potentially without having looked at the systems in detail, not in any detail, but this is a computer system and there's the possibility to switch rates and tariffs, and maybe you can predefine times at which those change, and maybe you can find some scripts and influence that, and maybe that's a good point in time, and maybe you shut down half of France. But it's even simpler. And I want to talk about a short-term jump in power in the network, and I can just manipulate part of the network. I have power lines which transport this kind of power, and they are somewhere in the forest, and I'm just looking for a nice place and destroy mechanically the infrastructure. And if I do it good, and if I just destroy that part of the infrastructure that is the most critical, and that is just the homework that I'm not going to do. But there are military weapons for that. They're called graphite bombs. They have graphite powder or carbon fibers, and they are fired upon high voltage lines or power stations and create a short circuit. They were used in the Second Gulf War. They were used in Kosovo, and it's really, well, it's a mature technology that is available. And okay, what is my criticism here? In the beginning I said there's this N-1 criterion, and one part goes down and the rest has to continue working. But what happens around that? What does the energy grid do, and where are the weak points? And this systemic weakness are not taken into account for that. We have the power brokering, we have a high load on the network, and this creates power jumps, and I know that beforehand. And the power jumps, the cascade effects are not really looked at in the current research, and these cascade effects have not been explicitly looked at, and there are further effects, but I don't have measured data for that. But there are frequency oscillations, and the frequency oscillates between Portugal and Turkey. Maybe there's an oscillation of the network frequency, and if that is really stable, I don't know. There are some records in the grid operators, but I don't have any measuring points outside of Germany. But if you want to do that, just contact me and I'd be very grateful. But what can we do? Dare to allow more decentralization? There are a study from the VDE, and how do we integrate renewable energies into our power distribution system, not only electricity but also heat? But the suggestion is to have autonomous decentralized centers which exchange power but are autonomous, so we don't have one huge system across Europe but small scale structures. What else do we need? We need stabilization on the low voltage level, but the system hasn't been built like that. But we create the energy at the high level and distribute it to the lower level. But right now, we also generate at the low level and send it upwards. And so there's no primary regulation in a photovoltaic rectifier. So and we have to do things there, but there are efforts to get active there and to create new regulation. And I'd really like to have autonomous cells in the power grid. A city such as Kaiserslautern with the surroundings could supply its own power, and maybe it can exchange power with the neighboring cell. But if there's fine weather and everything works, then that thing can really work autonomously. Okay, that's really the end of it. And I'd really like to thank those people who sent emails to me, before this talk, and I heard that my thoughts aren't that wrong in principle, but there are lots of people who talk about this and think about this topic. And if you want to look at the data, if you want to know about the project, this is called NetZinus. And thank you very much. So the URL is netzin.us, netzsin.us. Thank you very much.
Ihr dürft Matthias jetzt Sachen fragen. Wer Matthias keine Sachen fragen will, sondern rausgehen will, möge das bitte leise tun und dabei möglichst wenig Mateflaschen umtreten.
Also nochmal einen ganz herzlichen Dank. Und
der Leute hier drin. Ja. So our eighth bottle just kept popped
over. So questions, please. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have a question about autonomous small networks. If you want to buy electricity, you need to synchronize the frequency, so you need big rectifiers.
All right, so with renewable energy, you have this anyway, because this happens with these devices anyway. But I don't know where your question goes to.
So how can that be done? Is that possible today?
So feasible, possible. We are recreating our energy system anyway right now. It's technically possible, but we're doing a lot to integrate photovoltaic power plants anyway right now, so the additional effort isn't that much. So the biggest obstacle is probably that the people who have a finished power network, they don't want this to change. And there's very large lobbies working to push this into the opposite direction.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, it would be great, great sign of respect towards those who are interested to leave the room quietly. From the internet, please. Okay, the internet would like to know if with distributed and synchronized measurements of the network frequency to find out where or which power plant has gone down. Well, speed of light isn't infinite.
Cool question, especially because in the transformator, like collections of transformators, they actually also influence the timing and delays. So it's a nice thought, but possibly we would have to have a very detailed map where the lines are, where the transformators are, how the lines are being used, and so on. The data is freely available, though. So if someone knows how, then do it. Go, send me an email.
What would it be like if we attack the metal melting plants of the industry so that suddenly there's a lot less consumption?
This is basically the same, just like the energy goes down. So if I have like a loss of energy being produced or a loss of energy being confused, the curve goes down. So this is basically the same. The only difference is that these 50.2 hertz problem where wind power plants just shut down, this changes though. I'm not sure if it's like already being done or if it's like in the future, but this very fixed point where they shut off, they want to actually remove that from the infrastructure.
It means so just turning off if consumption goes down is no longer the thing.
So with wind power plants, they will just reduce their power output, and with photovoltaic plans, it's the same already. So it's not a fixed point, but it's a gradient, a gradial reduction.
Okay, okay, over there. Roughly, how much deviation in percent do you need to have a complete blackout of the grid, and how long would it take then to start the network again, to get it going again?
All right, give me a second, please. All right, this is just the frequencies where something happens in the energy grid. It's a lot of text, but more or less, if I'm below 49.5 or above 50.50 Hz, then things happen. So segments are thrown off, and so a blackout is being produced to stabilize the frequency, or power plants are actually being shut down. So this actually is in place already.
But this means the system would protect itself from a total European blackout. So, and it would just kick out Hamburg from the network.
Well, Hamburg would just be noise. But for example, you go to steel melting facilities and just steal their energy. There's like special contracts that allow this, to just close off their energy for a short time. So this means that we would have to trip this very quickly to actually this.
So sorry. If you have a big load shedding, then what do you do against that? Against this over frequency, because it takes a while when you shut it down, until the inertia is gone. Is there a huge consumer? Do you turn on a huge light bulb or something?
So I know actually energy companies that have water cookers that are as large as 1 megawatt to take part in the energy brokerage. So I'm actually gaining money if I use up energy, so I'm actually activating the water cooker. But what they think is they would usually reduce the output of a power plant. This is actually happening inside the power plants by the primary regulation already. So the frequency actually regulates this.
Okay, for the 50.2 hertz problems, as far as I know, this has already been done, but all the inverters had to be changed, but by wind turbines, it is also implemented, and there are these nice linear curves and the regulatory power and wind turbines. I just read at Ampion is also being implemented. So everything like that is coming now. And this wasn't a question. That's just some more information. Is it known if it's possible to get to the exchange the phases? To permutate the phases at the switching stations?
What do you mean funny? What do you mean permutate?
I thought about if that was possible to, with the existing switches, to switch the phases there in the wrong way.
Well, I don't want this to exclude this, like with if you just like throw in a spanner into the system that would actually like forge itself then into the system. But this would be a small and very local effect, so not in this size.
From the internet, please. Okay, the internet would like to know if you have data about the so-called Earth hours, where people say between today between 7 and 8, everyone turns the light off. I have
data, but it's on the website. But I haven't actually looked at it. I just looked. If the event detector that I'm actually like running, if there's something happens during the Earth hour, and there was no impact that I could measure or discern, but take the data, have a look yourself. Don't trust me.
Okay, in Austria, there's diesel and petrol. They create much more power than over the electricity grid. And if you try in the next few years, maybe 20% of the cars to convert them from combustion to electric, then I wonder what happens to the electric grid. Do you have models or thoughts about that? Or what would happen, for example, if a controlled car is suddenly switches from charging to discharging or vice versa?
All right, so there's a lot of people who are thinking about exactly this topic, and I'm not that deep into it, but the nice thing about a battery is that it can actually, in a very short duration, it can like shed a lot of load or receive a lot of load. So if I am able to like in a large scale manipulate in energy like mobile cars, I can actually create such an energy fluctuation as well. So there's no difference for me if I attacked smart meter or electric cars.
Over here, please. I have a question about the EFG freedom of information request to the federal government. Can we find the data?
All right, so I haven't uploaded the data, but it will be on my GitHub thing, which is linked on by the website. And like the letters exchange isn't finished, finalized yet. It's on fragdenstaat.de, though, documented. Not right now, but give me 2 to 3 days and then this will be the case.
Okay, you said 5 days until civil war, and how many candles and ravioli and mate did you stockpile?
Nothing at all. Candles, ravioli, and so on doesn't really... There's not enough because my heating doesn't work. If I don't have any gas, I can't continue getting... I can't go to the ATM at the regular bank. They wouldn't give me anything. So my catastrophe prevention is pretty bad, but it's also bad for others here as well.
So the internet, please, as long as it's still there. Okay, the internet would like to know how well this network voltage changes can be used as a fingerprint, or, for example, find it out from the hum in the audio signal.
All right, so there's two things in my head right now. All right, so can I take the hum of audio and then like recreate like the idea like. When was this, and by matching like this to the background hum of the network, and I think it's feasible, but we need high resolution measurement data. And the other thing that's going through the media every time is like if I distinguish like the light and dark pattern in like TV shows, then when was this actually to determine when was this actually being watched? I tried to have a look at this. I can't really understand it.
I would like to know how the synchronization of the generators works between the different power plants.
Sorry.
You gotta just like stop me. Yeah, but it's interesting. All right, so on the left side you see an image of like the power network, and the round things are generators. And you can just imagine this, the L1 line, they are just like coupled through the L1 line. And so my network sinoid is just like oscillates over the network. And so the generators just synchronize over the network sinoid. And if they wouldn't do that, mechanically there would be lots of stress. Because I have the electrical force that's like being... generated by the generator from physical force. So if one generates more than the other, then it actually drags the other. So this is actually like you can imagine like two locomotives that are being coupled with feathers. That's like how you can imagine this. There's no. It's just the network frequency that does this.
My second question of before. Assume we have a network that is not operating. How long does it take to get into operation?
For Europe, no one knows this. Good question, though. The black state scenarios, there's a special sequence how to like restart the network. This probably works over special kinds of power plants.
With the pumped storage, that works.
Thank you. And that's like how you like you try to like recreate the landscape of producers. If this actually works, and how it works, and how electric cars behave, no idea.
We have to accelerate this for a few more questions. Analogous to network topology on the other side, we have these hierarchical networks, and on the other side, we have mesh networks, and you prefer decentralization for the future. And looking at, so if we have meteorological extremes, between Greenland and Iceland, and so this argument of decentralization, do they really take it seriously?
So in my experience, it's that the electricity companies are very, very slow to react to input from the outside, regardless of where it comes from or why or of the reason it comes. So I can't say that they that they're like more slow to respond for this exact topic, but I think they just want to save their status quo and without like thinking about this problem exactly.
Okay, as to the story about the market, the brokering, and that's what the power companies do, and you could regulate that in advance, and you know in advance that something's coming. Are there systems for that, and would that be possible financially?
Okay, so lots of stuff was happening with those brokerage effects. They were way larger a few years ago. There's actually a group of people around Professor Fonda in Stuttgart, so and they do something, but there's a big misunderstanding. The power companies are not the ones who actually do the power brokerage, but people who actually brokerage and trade is actually like power plants with your energy supply company. So people who actually like own the network actually can't take influence on this. This is actually being regulated by the EU, this distinction between the roles. So there's no exchange here.
Okay, two more quickly. And maybe you can talk to him afterwards. Okay, short question. If someone in this project wants to participate in this project, how can I find the information and what does it cost?
I'd love to. Go to the website. There's a tab, the project, and there's a list of things where I need help. Right now the thing it costs, because it's a Raspberry Pi, it's kind of expensive, but I think we could like reduce the cost. It's just right now it just works and it just like click it together. But I could also use people who have like idea of data analysis and who know a lot about like electrical energy, then about measurement stations, people who create hard and software for this. This is all on the website, so it's all on GitHub as well.
Okay, last question. As a follow-up, if you have a dense sensor network, you could measure the length of the line.
I have no clue if this is electrically possible in detail, but I love the thought, though, because it's very nice. Actually, it came to me as well, so let's try this. All right.